Hebrews chapter 11, just the first four verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So I want to get into this a little bit tonight. We'll end in verse number 4 in just a little bit at the faith that Abel had and why God considered this a more excellent sacrifice than his brothers. Lord, help us tonight. We need you. The hour has grown late on us. The heat has hung out all day. Many people had to work in some capacity or another, in employment or at home or in the community, and we're tired. And Lord, we pray you'd help us now that we can be able to glean something from the pages of your word. We know you have something for us. Help us to get it. Help us to receive it, that we might be challenged in some practical, just helpful way about patience and faith. We might look to these examples in Scripture and understand that this way of living is attainable. But these men and women of flesh and blood, some that struggle greatly with impatience and fear at times, others that struggle greatly with sin at times, were able to live a victorious life through patience and faith in Christ Jesus. Help us to be encouraged by that tonight, we'd ask in Christ's name. Amen.
And you may be seated as well.
I always say that, but I don't think I have to. May I take the title? Forgive me if you're one of the formalists from the 1970s who went to Tennessee Temple. And I have nothing negative to say about Dr. Lee Robertson at all. That's who trained my uncle. And he will catch fire from being too hot before he will take off his tie or his coat. And more power to him. And if he's watching this or listens to it, he knows that's the gospel truth. I'm very hot for whatever reason. And then I tie my tie wrong, so it's distracting me every time I look down. I got OCD problems, I'm telling you. But the book of Hebrews thus far took several chapters. We've been over it many times. Brother Hedgepath went over it as well in a good synopsis of it. He took 9 to 10 chapters or so and said, here's who it's all about, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he is so much better. Chapter 10, we spent a good chunk of time with him saying, here's what you are to do. Draw nigh to God, hold fast to God, and help somebody else do the same. Call to remembrance the former days. Have compassion for the redeemed that are in bondage. And have confidence in the reward that is to come. And then we said, here's the folks in chapter 11 who've done it. And they did it by patience and faith. He mentions patience in the end of chapter 10 and again in chapter 12. And now it's all about faith in chapter 11. And we're looking at, again, foundational thoughts about it tonight. It's been the introduction of chapter 11 several times. That faith has a foundation. It has substance. That which is underneath that you stand on, a subfloor. Faith has a foundation. The songwriter said it this way, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that's the idea tonight, that every other foundation that would present itself in life is sinking sand. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how it appears on the surface. Every foundation that is not Jesus Christ cannot produce what it's promising. And we said some things, and that the emphasis tonight really is going to be what faith is not, and end it with some thoughts about faith. But if we may have said this before, and if we haven't, you've heard it before. Faith is not a blind leap. And a lot of people, faith is what they would call foolishness. But all you Christians, you Bible believers, you just take a blind leap in the dark. Faith is not a blind leap. Faith has substance, it has evidence, it has a foundation to it based on the integrity and the character of God. There's a story that says years ago, the captain of a large vessel set sail with his family from Liverpool. His destination was New York. One night when everyone was asleep, a sudden squall arose. The wind came sweeping over the water and struck the vessel and almost capsized it. Everything movable was sent tumbling and crashing, and the passengers became aware that they were in imminent peril. Everyone was alarmed. Panic set in. Many sprang from their berths and began to dress. They said the captain's young daughter, just 8 years of age, awakened out of sleep and cried with fright, "What's the matter?" When they told her about the storm, she simply asked, "Is my father on deck?" Assured that he was, this little one dropped back on her pillow without fear. In spite of the howling winds and crashing waves, she was soon fast asleep again. That is the mindset That is the heart attitude God's children must live by about their Father. That it is not about the size or the shape or the sound of the storm. Who's on deck? Who is guiding the vessel? Who is this all based upon? Faith is substance. It is evidence that is tied directly to the character and the integrity of God. That's why the scriptures say we are to walk by faith. Live by faith, not by sight. Because we can say this, and you know well already, storms, seas, they come in all shapes and sizes. You face small troubled seas, you face mighty powerful storms. Our attention, our focus, our mind should not be fixated on whatever sea or storm we are facing. He said, oh, this one is so much bigger than the last one. This one's so much worse than the last one. It's still smaller and weaker than God. Compare your storm to your Savior. And it's the disciples all over again in their storm. They are panicking. They're bailing water. They're about to drown. They believe. And then they realize Jesus is asleep in the other end of the boat. If Jesus is sleeping, we don't need to be stressing. It's as simple as I can put it on a Wednesday night. What does not panic my Father ought not panic me. And I know we are human and imperfect and we struggle with that. We sing songs like everything's all right in my Father's house, and it is. Every storm, every sea, no matter its shape and size, is still smaller than God. Deuteronomy 20 says this, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. It's a hard thing. Flesh and blood here, the children of Israel, they're being told, when you march out there, you're going to see a lot of things that on the surface indicate imminent defeat. He said, when you see horses and you see chariots and you see people that are more than you, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Listen to this. He stresses it four times. O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. Talk about having to stress something to somebody. He said, what does that mean? It means the same thing four times. He said, you get out there and you're going to see a lot of things and say, there ain't no way this is of God. There's no way we can be victorious in this battle. He said, let not your hearts be faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. Why? For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. You say, oh, that's the Old Testament. That's the children of Israel. They were literally going to have God go through before them in different ways. He used weather, he used insects, etc., to drive enemies out from in front of them, and he won victory for them. And that translates into the New Testament. You got Paul's in chapter 7 of Romans saying, the good that I would, I don't, and the good that I want to do, I don't. And I keep doing things I don't want to do, and I keep not being able to do the things that I do want to do, oh wretched man that I am. And then he talks about how thanks be to God for the victory that is through Christ. He still has won the victory for us. So faith is not a blind leap. Faith is more than just walking around blind waiting for providence to bump into my life. Faith is my response to the promises of God based on who God is. Faith is a right response to God's word. That when I get a word from God, I receive that word, I believe that word, I obey that word. Because I trust the author of it. The author and the finisher of my faith. God says, I'll lead you, then faith says, I'll follow. God told those men, I'll make you, and they said, make me. God says, I'll feed you. Faith says, I'll eat. God says, I'll meet your needs. Faith said, it's done. Faith is not a blind leap into the dark. It may involve factors I can't see. Hence, verse number 1, it's the evidence of things not seen. It might have dark chapters. It might have factors I can't see. But there's evidence that I can lay hold of that supports my faith. Always based on the firmest of foundations, the Word of God. If you're like me, or you're like the Jewish people, or the religious leaders of Christ's days, they would say something like this. If I could see, then I would believe. If I could just see something that made sense about this battle, I'd believe that I could win. The Bible says, let's get those things turned around. Believing is seeing. When I believe to see, faith sees what's invisible to the human eye. Silly illustration, but Friday was a Friday. We had that rainstorm. And I was coming down delivering. It was a 15-hour day. Down east on Mount Desert Island to Belfast and Bangor and everywhere in between. And I come back, just blue skies and sun on one side and dark storm clouds coming. And how the day was going, I said, I got one more stop and I guarantee the clouds catch me at the last stop. And they did. And I went from the front of the truck to the door I was backed against and I was soaked in 20 steps. And I said, Lord, that's just how it goes. And then it stopped as soon as I got into the truck. And I said, my own personal little rain cloud. That's encouraging. But on the way home, I said, I didn't get my head screwed on straight. I am going home. I can't bring that attitude home. They already get that every day of the week from me. And I said, Lord, there's got to be a rainbow somewhere. I'm looking for it. You said after the rain, there'd be a rainbow in the sky somewhere to remind us of your promises. And I came down past the end of 32 here to Route 3 by that Dunkin' Donuts down there. And sure enough, right across, it was one of the faintest rainbows I've ever seen. Barely can make out the colors over the horizon. And it's not as bright as the other ones I've seen. Wasn't as clear, but it was there. Just saying, when you're looking for even the faintest of rainbows, it'll be found. Faith doesn't sit back and say, why can't I see rainbows like everybody else? Why do they get to see clear and vivid rainbows, and I just get to see a few colors spattered in the sky? Faith believes to see what God says is there. Faith receives and believes what God says and God does, and that results in seeing the goodness of God. You say, seeing would build my faith. No, it wouldn't. It would build your independence from God. Trials build our faith. And increased faith pleases God. Those who live having to see first live by fear and not by faith. The psalmist said it in Psalm 27, you know the verses arguably, said, I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He didn't say, because I saw the goodness of God vivid and clear on every hand, now I believe God is good. The psalmist said, I believed to see the goodness of the Lord, and that kept me in it another day. Our flesh says, well, I looked, that rainbow in the sky says there, God, I looked, I didn't see it, or it wasn't bright enough to say, that's a rainbow. I tried it, so I guess I better go do something myself, because God didn't come through. Not only did the psalmist say, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, the very next verse is, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And even when you are believing to see and looking for God to move and God to do something, if he doesn't do it in the manner I think or in the time I think, the psalmist said, just wait. That rainbow that was there that day on Friday, I said, well, there is a rainbow, Lord. You did put one in the sky, like you said. I was looking for it. I believed it'd be there. I can see it. I've received it from you. It ain't the best one I've seen. It ain't the brightest. It ain't the more vivid one. In a weird sense of thinking, faith doesn't then take a picture and go Photoshop it and edit it to make it a better rainbow. Or find a quicker, easier means to the end. Faith believes and receives according to the Word of God when and how God provides. And I said, Lord, I appreciate the fact that you put the rainbow in the sky. Appreciate you letting me see it. I knew it would be there. Came down here past this lumber yard or whatever it was on the way home and looked. And it was one of those where you stop and take a picture because it was so bright. It was so vivid. It was so full of color. A double rainbow spanning Route 3. Started on this side. It came up and over to that lumber yard is down there on the left-hand side. Some of the biggest, brightest double rainbows I've ever seen. And I stopped and said, Lord, that is amazing. I said, what are you saying? I don't know other than to say this. God honors faith. When I receive by faith what God says is there for me, how God says it, when God says it, all these things that God has given what is right, he does what is right, when it's right, how it's right, all these factors, God adds more than we expect. God responds to our faith. Hebrews 11, without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
The psalmist said, I was there. I was ready to faint. I was ready to make that choice. I'm done. But I believe to see the goodness of God. That psalmist goes on to write 10 chapters later in Psalm 37 of something he never got to see. I mean, he's lived his whole life, most of it by faith, seeing things that human eyes can't see because he believed God to see them. And then as an old man, he said, let me just make a side note here, if you will, of one thing I never got to see. And he says in Psalms 37, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. That's faith. That says, I choose to believe what God has said. And he said, now I'm an old man saying, one thing I've never seen is God not take care of his own. Just trying to see as an overview that we're walking or ought to be walking by faith. And if I'm walking by faith, what does that mean? Walking by faith means I'm living according to the Word of God. That I do what God says, when God says it, how God says to do it. It's the words He put on my mind for Sunday morning's message about the cross. That, what do you mean? I'm doing what God says, when God says, how God says, in my thoughts. How I think, in my talks, how I communicate with people, in my treatments, how I treat other people and myself, in my temptations, how do I respond to them? Is it like Christ? Faith receives and obeys the Word of God. What does that mean? It means I'm living according to the Word of God in my thoughts, my talks, my treatments, and my temptations. Even when what I can see doesn't promise the desired outcome. We looked at the verse of Sunday afternoon, Matthew 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What's the foundation? What's the rock? It's the Word of God. That which is inerrant, that which is infallible, means that which cannot have an error, that which cannot fail, that which was settled from the beginning of time. We say God has no beginning and no end of days. The Word of God has no beginning or end of days. So what is faith not? I don't think that's the right way to ask that. Number one, faith is not foolishness. And there are things in life that you might be led to do of God that others would say, that's foolish. The difference in faith and foolishness is, did God tell you to do it? It'd be foolish for a man to pack up his family and go halfway around the world to some mission field somewhere, not knowing where the food's going to come from, not knowing where the money's going to come from, unless God told him to do it. Well, I just felt I should, or I just wanted to impress. Faith is not foolishness. If God is not in it, it's not a faith. If God hasn't led you to it, it's not a faith. If God didn't tell you to do it, it's foolish. You say, I just think, this great big task, or this undertaking, imagine, this is a stupid story. Is it Chicago where the Sears Tower is? Is that where, I don't know. I've been in Chicago, and not long enough. And I don't do well in crowds of this size, alone 9 million people in an hour radius. Climb to the Sears Tower and say, I'm going to jump. And I'm not going to hit the ground, God is going to make me fly. I mean, you're going to fly for a while, but. Because I prayed about it. I've asked God to hold me up, and I got peace in my heart. God is going to bear me up before I dash my feet on the rocks. I got peace. God's going to make me fly. I believe God's going to make me fly, so here I go. Before you jump, just tell Him what to do with your body. Because you're going to die. And if you don't, I'll say you have greater faith than I do. Faith is not foolishness. Faith is not fatalism. Say, what do you mean? Well, everything's already predetermined, so what's the point? God's already predetermined everything, and His will shall come to fruition, so what's the point in trying or planning or doing? Faith is not fatalism. That's why our forefathers often had this saying in their pulpits and in their pews and in their houses, trust God and keep your powder dry.
They did not sit back in a fatalistic approach and say, if God wants to overthrow King George and all the redcoats, and well, by God, he'll do it. They said, we're going to trust God in this thing. We can't do it without the blessings and the favor of the Almighty. But he said, here's the plan. Trust God and keep your powder dry. God's going to bring the victory. We're going to have to shoot some people before it's over. So what are you saying? It's not fatalism. You do what you know to do. You know what is right to do. Do it. And trust God with the results. Yeah. Faith isn't fatalism. Faith isn't feelings. Yeah. Feelings are based off myself. Faith is based on God. If I got to go by one or the other, we probably should choose faith. Because we know how desperately wicked and deceitful we are. And we know how rock solid, is that the phrase? Steady, always the same, God is.
Amen.
Faith isn't feelings. And so if it feels good, do it. That's been around forever. And it's made a comeback. We've challenged people to be whatever you want to be when you grow up, and they took us up on that. And we said things to people, how stupid can you be? And they took us up on that challenge too. It's everywhere. You don't do something, it's because it feels good. You know what the Baptist version of that is? Well, I have peace about this. There may be situations you find yourself in where you don't like it. Or you don't feel like it. Or you may not have a settled peace about it, but faith isn't based off feelings. There'll be other times you'll think you have a good feeling on something. You'll think that you got peace on this. I'm saying check it out according to the Word of God. Our emotions, our heart are deceitful. They're wicked. Faith isn't based off feelings. It's a response to a Word of God. Just give you some words to remember. Faith isn't foolishness, not fatalism, it's not feelings. And last one, it's not fantasy. Or it's not what I imagine and what I envision how things should be and how God should operate. Faith is not, I've already decided, I've already seen what God should do in this matter. So many are disappointed with God because He doesn't do something we think He should do. Or because He didn't do something I wanted Him to do or told Him to do. We say, well, I prayed for what I think is right and what I know is right and what I know they needed, what I know I needed, and that request was denied by God, so I'm bitter and I'm going to turn back from following God. Faith is not a fantasy. Well, I tried and God let me down. God's never let anybody down. Faith is not a lasso I throw around God to make Him do my will. Faith isn't a button we get to push to force God into anything. It is not twisting the arm of God behind His back and saying, I have faith and believe this is right. Do it! Faith is not a fantasy. It's not a vision or imagination that I have where if God doesn't do it, I have a right to charge God foolishly. There's only one sure foundation for faith. It's not fear. It's not fatalism. It's not foolishness. It's not feelings. It's not fantasy. It is following the Word of God. Anything in my life that is based on guesswork or just my peace of mind or wishful thinking or my personal wisdom and understanding will end in failure and frustration. Somebody said it this way, when I expect God to do as He promised, that's faith. When I expect God to do as I wish, that is presumption. We must not live by what I perceive, by what I presume to be right, by what I have peace about. We must live by what has God said. If God said it, that settles it. I believe it, I'll do it. And you know the saying, it's been around forever, you've heard preachers for the last generation say it, that slogan, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And you've heard the reverse of that, which is more accurate, it's not new with me or even my generation, that it should be God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. But because God said it and it's settled, I believe it and I'll do it. Don't have to feel like it. Don't have to like it. Don't have peace about it. If it's in the Word of God, I'm going to do it. Faith is the assurance that God will do exactly what He said He will do. It's the assurance God will do it, how it should be done, and when it should be done. That kind of faith, and we're almost done, comes by hearing the Word of God. The kind of faith that says God is always right, He always does right. He's always right on time. He always does it how it's right. I have no right to falsely and foolishly charge God. That kind of a faith based on substance and evidence comes by intake of the Word of God. And then that kind of faith not only comes by intake of the Word of God, it is output in obedience. There's no other way to build that kind of a faith than intake of the Word of God. There's no other way to prove that kind of faith than the output of good works. That because I believe God does what He should, how He should, when He should, how does that translate? That I do what I should, when I should, how I should, and for the right motives. That I have the right thoughts, the right talks, the right treatments, the right temptations or response thereto, because my faith is genuine in God. And genuine faith produces genuine obedience. For instance, we'll look at verse number 4 here and be done in a moment. Actually, we may go to James chapter 2 for a second. If you do your Bible reading, and you should, and study the Bible, you should. One thing, a couple things that I will do, and it's not saying you have to, it's just some things I do. If I'm reading a particular text or passage, I look for either words that repeat themselves, or phrases that are repeated in a text, or a theme, or a key thought. One thing that I should do more often too is I'm reading whatever the text might be. I try to go through and mark or circle or make note of any of the action words. What's being done? I want to see what is this passage trying to teach me and what is this passage trying to tell me to do. There's an action verb. I mark it. And say that is the action that this is trying to produce or to stop if it's a wrong action. So what are you saying? Verse 4 shows us faith is far more a verb than it is a noun. That which does not move me to action, I do not believe. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Faith is more a verb than it is a noun. You just go to James chapter 2, it'll be the only place we go. You know the verses, we'll just read them. As soon as I get my first two pages out of the way, because I covered them. James chapter number 2. You probably even know where I'm going to start. You can jump all the way down to verse number 17. Even so, James 2:17, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? The answer is yes. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What was fulfilled? Because Abraham believed God, he did something about it. He believed, so he obeyed. Verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Genuine faith produces genuine obedience and offering of what God asks for. James said it, the half-brother of Jesus, and he kind of just laid it out there in verse number 18, is it? Thou hast faith and I have works. He's saying, you're saying this. I got faith. I got works. James said, show it to me. He's saying, almost a good luck. Show me that faith you keep telling me you have without doing anything. And I won't even tell you about my faith with words. I'll just show you my life. Faith is more a verb than it is a noun. It is not something I'll have to tell people. I possess faith in God. We ought to. But it's a verb where my life shows people I believe God. And I believe God is right. and he does rightly, and he does it how he should and when he should. And I say that, but how do we know we believe that? When I do what I should, when I should, how I should, with the right motive.
Faith is a verb. It's what moves me to obedience and actions. I can both say I believe anything. I can claim I believe something. But if that claim never grows legs, I don't believe it. If I believe God is always good and always right and always does rightly and right on time, I'll respond and live the same way. So you keep saying that, I know. The contrast is this. If I don't do right, the right way, in the right timing, can I accurately claim to believe God? Faith without works is dead. Words are empty unless they're filled with action. Here is verse 4 and we'll be done. Doesn't need to be developed. It's just wanted to make an observation about Abel's faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. There's other passages we could go to that explain this. What made Abel's sacrifice, Abel's offering, so much more acceptable to God and Cain's rejected? Abel offered to God what God asked for. Abel obeyed God the way God said to obey. Abel's faith provoked him. It prompted him to obey, regardless of what anybody else did or didn't do. And it wasn't just a matter of doing any work or offering anything to God. Cain could say that. Well, I did what I felt was right. At least I was busy doing something. I at least offered something to God, and God said, I didn't ask for it, don't want it, won't accept it. Abel said, here's what I'll offer you, God, what you asked me to offer you. Here's what I'll do, God, exactly whatever it is you asked me to do. Genuine faith produces genuine obedience and offering to God. Abel simply offered to God what God asked him to. He didn't justify giving a wrong offering or misguided, misconceived obedience because, well, at least I was doing and offering this. That was Cain. Abel, God said, that's a more excellent sacrifice. I'll take that. Because you simply offered me what I asked you to offer me. You simply obeyed what I asked you to do. Faith receives a word. It believes a word. It obeys a word. Biblical faith receives a word from God, believes that word from God, obeys that word from God. Faith, we can say it this way, lets God do God's job while I'll do mine. If I only offer my time, my talent, my treasures to God according to my terms, according to my perception and my plans and my pursuits, that is not of faith, hence it is sin. And it's self-righteousness. Faith says, I trust God to do His job the right way on the right time. And faith also says, so I'll do what is right the right way in the right manner on the right time. Faith lets God do His job while I do mine. You know what the good side of the deal is for us? Is God helps us do our part because we need it. We can't do it without it. God doesn't need my help to do His job. These same heroes of your faith, go and look in their lives in the Old Testament and other passages where they tried to help God out. Didn't go so well. We're still reaping the repercussions of a lot of it today in the Middle East and other places. When someone said in impatience or unbelief, in fear, I got to help God out. I don't know if God's going to do the right thing in the right time and the right manner this time around. Abraham, you better take my handmaiden just in case God needs your help on this one. God said, time out. Let me start with Abel. The man gets a testimony, then a legacy that speaks far beyond his physical human death because he offered me what I asked him to offer me. He obeyed what I asked him to do. Faith lets God do his job while he helps me do mine, understanding he doesn't need my help to do his. So to wrap it all up, and I wasn't short like I wanted to be, faith is based in substance and evidence. Because it's tied to the character and the integrity of God. It has something to stand on. Something to back it up. What I believe will move me to action. Offering to God what He desires
obeying God and what He demands, because I believe He is right and always does rightly. And the end of verse 4, that type of faith, that type of obedience brings lasting results and lasting change. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. His obedience and offering of faith is still a witness. It is still speaking even today. That when I truly believe God does right in the right time, the right way, with the right motives, I'll do the same. It's when I struggle with that that I do the opposite. Let's just do our job with God's help and let God do God's job God's way. He doesn't need me propping Him up and helping Him out. He never needs to look down and say, I hope I can stand upon them today. He is our rock. He is our substance. He is our evidence. He is worthy of our faith, but faith translates into action. Let's stop.